the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 6. We are 4 new mommies beta testing parenthood. Today we are actually 3 new mommies and a daddy. We have our first guest on Mommy Beta. Welcome to Adam. This is the famous Dada Rocks. We're thrilled to have you with us.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so you're the first boy allowed in this girls only podcast. And Alex was very bullish, and Jennifer as well, about getting you on because we, of course, read your site. And Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit more about why we find him so inspiring?
Well, first of all, he's just real. I loved when I first emailed him and told him I told him what we were doing. We were going to be highlighting just a few of our favorite daddy bloggers in the month of June, and asked him if he would contribute a guest blog. And he immediately responded that he would love to do it and asked if there were any specific topics. And it was great. I emailed him probably 5 or 7. I don't remember the exact number of different topics. And he responded and he answered all of them. It was fantastic. You'll have to read his post. But what I love most about Adam is he's just real, and he kind of tells it how it is, and not to mention kind of funny, which is needed these days. I do want to just give a special shout out. He was listed as one of the dads with clout on clout, the standard for influence. If you're not aware, so take a look at that. So again, thanks, Adam, so much for joining us today. This is really fantastic.
Now, you know, daddy bloggers is kind of a newer thing.
Well, Mom, I feel really special.
You are special.
You are.
Yes. But I want to talk about daddy blogging in general, because it's a relatively new thing. You know, mommy bloggers have been kind of ruling the roost of the blogosphere for a long time. And recently, there are a lot of dads getting in on the game. Why do you think that there's this sudden, maybe not sudden, but gradual recurrence of fathers who are ready to talk about fatherhood?
Well, I think what has happened is that, you know, in 2010, we saw the spike of dad blogs. And I think that's also when parent blogging became lucrative. So I think there was, like, you know, when the brands really discovered that the mom bloggers were way more, had more influence than they ever imagined. And I think that there was other kind of positives that came out of that. So I think at the same time, it was just a cross of different kind of scenarios that kind of happened all at once. And I think that it was, you know, just about time. I think the other thing that guys, as the economy changed, when guys were losing their work, it was harder for them to find new jobs. Whereas for moms,
oh, we lost you just a little.
Yes,
we're losing you.
He's on the go. So
they kind of were
as all dads are,
because that's the.
I think the gist of what he was saying was that, you know, it's a way for...
Living is that a guy loses...
he's going to keep going no matter what.
Adam,
can you hear us?
Right, I'm trying. Yeah?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
You're back.
Now we can.
All right.
I'm sure that was okay. A brilliant, okay, brilliant explanation that you just had. We just caught about a third of it.
Well, it was kind of the diatribe about, like,
it wasn't meant to be.
People that lose their job are reaccepted back into the workplace.
Now, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it. Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, it really is too bad that, you know, that it would have to be that it comes from something that, you know, you lose your job and then you're motivated to do something different. But I think a lot of times, you know, dads need to share as much as moms need to share, whether or not there's a job loss or not. It's just parenting is something that all of a sudden you find yourself needing to talk about.
I agree. And I think it sort of had to start with one person to kind of get it rolling, you know, to say or to show it's okay for you guys to open up, to have feelings, to be touched by fatherhood. And my mother-in-law, who I won't mention her age, but who had my husband's her youngest son, and she had him when she was around her 40s. I mean, like maybe when she was just turning 40. So So at that, even at that time in the 1970s, early 80s, the husbands just weren't really that involved with parenthood. It seems, I think, very distant. They were there, they were loving, but it wasn't as it is today. She said, you know, what touches her about today in parenthood is just seeing how involved the dads are. It's you're having a baby. It's not just the mom having a baby and let's shower her and let's, you know, celebrate that with her. It's both of you. And I think the guys are excited about that. And they're so much more involved and so much more hands-on and they want to talk about it. And I love it. I think it's great. I think we're really lucky.
And there's great gears for dad these days.
There is a lot of great gear. You should talk to my husband about that. It's more than just the diaper dude, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's even started all.
Yeah.
So, Adam, before we get started, if you could, do you want to just take a minute just to give a high level overview of Data Rocks and why, you know, why if people aren't reading it, why they should?
Well, I started Data Rocks as a person narrative of like having a child that was 97 percentile. So it was what I was using and what I was doing and what we were growing into and growing out of and what we really liked. Because when you have a child that's growing that fast, it's just like you go through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And so that's kind of where it started. And then kind of in some personal discussions with my wife, we kind of moved away from the husband and wife dynamic because she didn't like to have all of our dirty laundry aired on the blog.
And who does?
And then as we moved on to, right. And then we moved on to like, you know, kind of limiting some of the stuff about Mark. Cause as I was starting to, my child's name is Mark. So as we were starting to have Mark develop into a real person, you know, there's some things that you don't want on Google when he's 25 years old.
Yep.
So I kind of got conscious of that effort. And so now it kind of is more about the things and products and the toys and the gadgetry that I love for kids and for dads and for parents.
Yeah, my husband's,
you know,
right there
the next
with
couple
you.
Of weeks, you know. Yeah. And it's hard because you just got to balance it all out. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be putting more of the personal narrative back in and making a little bit more of a community forum for dads in there, and so it'll be changing a little bit over the next few weeks.
But the site really does have your stamp on it, your emotion as a father, and I think that's why, you know, women so much enjoy dad blogs, because to see a man enjoying fatherhood, actually there was this funny blog this week on, I think it was Stroller Derby, about filth, which is father I would like to have fun with. I think it's so funny that, you know, we're starting to recognize that a man just gushing over his child, there's nothing better to watch, you know, from any, whether you find that sexy or just adorable or, you know, you can't look away from something like that.
See, I say this is the Matthew McConaughey father, you know, the Matthew McConaughey fatherhood example, because that's where, you know, the filth term really came in, right?
I guess so. I had never heard it before.
Either have I.
Me either.
Thing.
Well, I'll go with it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start to talk about more emotional, experiential things like we do here on Mommy Beta every week. And so we're just going to talk about the things that we've been blogging about. And we thought that you could stick around and ring in on those kind of things. One of the things that I'm dealing with, and the reason I sound like Kathleen Turner on this week's podcast, is because I'm getting over an upper respiratory infection, which I got from my son, Miles. He went to daycare for the first time when I was on assignment, and I didn't really love the idea of putting him in daycare, but I thought he's got to do it sometime. So he, of course, contracted his first cold, flu, or whatever. So, the doctor diagnosed it as an upper respiratory infection. It was 2 days of taking care of my little baby with a really high fever. It just broke my heart. And of course, I got it because I was just holding him and coddling him the whole time. And then I got sick. And, you know, the thing is, I tried not to be paranoid about it and not get hysterical, even though his fever was really high. I knew what to expect. But the thing that broke my heart the most is he didn't understand that he was going to get better. He just thought all of a sudden, you know, life sucked. He didn't have any perspective at all. And he was trying to be his cheerful self. And I put this on the blog. I wonder, do veteran parents ever get used to it? Can you ever get used to watching your child suffer like that? Or, you know, is this just obnoxious first-time mom overreaction? What do you think, Adam?
I think my experience with having a sick child is kind of, you know, that they get over it, but they also get more feisty about taking their cold medicine. So one of the things that I saw was that Mark stopped liking taking his cold medicine, and that really sucked. So we can't give him medicine anymore. He's like, no. And then, like, when you try to hide it in things, he's like, no, because he notices, like, you know, the mac and cheese tastes a little different, or the strawberry bar tastes a little different, or the mashed potatoes. And so we just had to deal with all those things.
And at what age was that? Because my daughter Reese, she's 11 months, and she absolutely loves medicine. It's ridiculous. She gets very happy when she sees it.
Well, that's awesome. Mark was into it from about like 8 months old until about 18 months old, and then after 18 months old, he knew we were drugging him.
Okay, I got a little time then.
Or maybe you should be concerned that she likes the meds too much.
Else with her. I think they like the cherry, grape flavors. Yeah. They smell pretty good.
Yeah, Miles wouldn't. He doesn't really like it, and he's on to me now. so we have to hold him down. And then they have that thing called little noses, because really he would wake up and his nose looked like a monster nose. It was just mocos everywhere, which is a Spanish word for.
I was going to start laughing.
Yeah. It was just so, I couldn't get it off with tissue. I would have to put him in the bath. And then I tried to use that little noses stuff, but he yanks it away, and then it cut him because he was yanking away from the nozzle that goes in his nose. So eventually we had to hold him down in the bath, and we used Neomed, which is like a neti pot. It's just a saline solution for adults, and shot it up his nose, and it shoots the mocos out, the boogers out the other side. And it seemed to help a lot, but man, he hated it. I had to just, it was like wrestling a little person.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend a different product other than the neti pots, because neti pots could take a lot out of a kid, and there's room for infection with neti pots.
Yeah.
So check out the nose, Frida. It's like the
I
snot
have
stalker.
One of those. Go ahead.
I like that.
It's the sucker thing?
Yeah, it's called the nose, Frida, and it's like the tagline is called the snot sucker.
Yeah. But there's so many different theories.
This one does have really good reviews. I actually haven't even tried it, Nat or Adam, but I have it, and it's in a box because the last time Elle got sick, I was so frustrated with those syringes, you know, and I'd tried a few different products. But, yeah, it looks really gross because you put it in your mouth, and it looks like you're sucking the snot out of your child's nose, but
gross.
It's not. I know. But, yeah, I would recommend trying it, too. But what were you going to say, Nat?
Oh, I was just saying, you know, for the neti pot, if we just used, you know, just some water and not even the saline solution. But you're right. It's a little intense, but it just seemed to help get it. But you're right. It may be a little too much, you know, shooting that through your kids.
Baby waterboarding, you know, just think of it like that.
I don't even like doing it, you know, myself.
Yeah, I won't do it to myself, so I won't do it to Reese.
But it did help clean him out, the poor little guy, and then the eye boogers, you know, it was just, oh, it was gnarly. So I don't know if I'll ever get used to it. My mom, when we were kids, we'd sneak into our rooms when we were sick, and, you know, we'd wake up because her hand would be on our forehead or our chest because she just needed to make sure that we were breathing, and I get it now.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So did you guys did you take him in the shower? Did I miss that?
We did do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got him a humidifier. And you know, the doctors these days, they're so hesitant to give you anything. They just want these little kids to fight it themselves. Whereas when I was a kid, they probably would have given me antibiotics a ton, you know, weeks ago. Like a scratch or anything, we got antibiotics all the time. But now they will not.
Penicillin.
Yeah, they won't give you anything.
For everything.
No, we just really want them to fight it out.
I grew up on bubblegum medicine, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry you had to go through that, Natalie. I think, Reese has actually never been sick. With the cold, I did have to take her to the hospital once, and, you know, you just feel as a parent helpless. There's nothing you can do, and you're made to just take care of these little guys, and when they're helpless, you feel helpless and out of control, and I don't know if you'll ever get used to it. I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job of just remaining calm during the high temperatures. I think both of you have had babies with high fevers, and I'm not ready for that yet. I think it's going to really, really stress me out.
Yeah. Well, I want to take a short break and thank Frances England. She is the musician of the music that you hear in the beginning and end of this podcast. And we just want to make sure that we give credit where credit is due. She's so nice to lend us her music. So we just wanted to let you know that if you want more of that music and it's delightful children's music, go to francisengland.com or search for her in iTunes. Next up, Jennifer, you want to tell us what you've been writing about lately? You've got a little mover and shaker on your hands now.
I do, and she's on her knees now crawling. So we go back and forth between the army crawl and on her knees, but she's getting the hang of it. And we just bought the little friendly play zone activity center, little PC word for playpen this past week that Alex has too. And so far, she's not really liking it. She looks at the bars and screams.
Oh, no.
I feel really bad, but I think she'll get used to it. So the other big thing is we've shifted her over to the convertible car seat from the infant car seat. And the good news is she likes it. It's really comfy for her, but it really...
What did you end up going with?
We went with the Britex, I think, Boulevard.
The Boulevard?
That's yes. What I have.
Yeah. It's funny. I think all three, Natalie and myself have that. And what did you get, Alex?
I ended up going with the Recaro, specifically because Josh did some research, and I guess it's made by some Italian manufacturer who also makes race car driver seats or race car seats.
Yes, it's the same people that make the seats for Ferrari.
Okay.
Cool.
Adam
was the Ferrari of car seats.
I guess so. But apparently they're safe. I mean, Britex is amazing. I think they're both up there in terms of safety, and maybe Adam, you would know. But from what I understand, the Recaro is tested in Germany, and they test their car seats at 90 miles per hour, where if they're tested in the U.S., it's tested at 30 or 40 miles per hour. I just thought that was an interesting fact. Not that I'm
you
going to be driving.
Yeah, you think that they would. I've seen you drive, Alex. I don't know. Well, you would think they would at least test it at 60 miles an hour. I think 90 might be too extreme, and 40 maybe it's a little too slow, but something in the middle would be nice.
Well, I think all cars test at like 30 and 40 and 50 miles an hour in the U.S. because I think like much more than that, you're either breaking the law or you're in the middle of nowhere.
Good to know.
I think that's kind of that. I actually went with the Evenflow Symphony. I love Britex, and I think they make amazing products. But when we were looking just for something that Britex didn't offer at that time. And now they have a comparable product to what the Evenflow Symphony is. But we're happy with the Evenflow.
I'll have to check that out. I'm just interested in car seats because people are always looking for recommendations. So maybe we could even do a write-up, Jennifer.
I like that.
All the different ones that we have and include the Evenflow. Did you say Evenflow Symphony?
Yep.
Great.
It's really overwhelming. You know, I think you just kind of hear from a friend and check it out and just go with it because there are so many models out there. And I think, Adam, you would probably have much more insight into this, but they say that, you know, 90% of them are, you know, great. They're fine, you know, for safety requirements. But us as parents, we just feel like we have to go that extra mile, I guess.
Yeah, I think for us, it's about, you know, from my perspective of fatherhood, it's like if I'm paying another $200 for a car seat and the first car seat goes from 0 to 22 pounds or 0 to 25 pounds, it's like that next car seat, I want to go from 0 to 100. I want it to be like the car seat until they grow out of car seats. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we chose the Evenflow, because it does that little bit of the 30 pounds where you still have them facing the back way and then you flip them around and does really great things in terms of that. I think that for me, it was about money and longevity of the product.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I had looked at too. And thankfully, we order most of our products from Amazon. But the difference in price between the two levels of the Britex was literally like $1 or something like that. So I was like, why not get the extra side protection, whatever they call it, true side impact or something.
Right.
Usually to get you to spend a lot more money. I'm not one of those people, but I just decided to go with it since there wasn't much more of a cost involved. But I want to ask you your opinion on this whole new car seat regulation while we're on the topic of, you know, how old is your son right now?
He's turning 3 in August.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very fun age. So you're past the whole, stay turned back around until they're 2.
I actually turned him around when my wife gave me a nice little surprise of I'm going to a bachelorette party when he was a little younger. And that was kind of hard because I dropped her off at the airport and then I had a baby who was like flipping out. Like,
oh no.
From at 18 months old, that is second to none. And so I literally pulled over like in Jersey and I was like, all right, we're going to flip you back around. And like we were heading back into New York City. I dropped her off at Newark. And so I flipped him around as we were driving back into New York City. And it was great because then I could actually deal with the road in front of me and deal with my hand actually hitting his face instead of like hitting his stomach. So I was like,
not actually hitting his face. Just kidding.
Well,
touching
no,
his
not
face. Just
caressing his face. Right.
I'm totally kidding.
Yeah, you know, like, but putting the binky back in was a big thing back then for him. So, like, you'd spit the binky out and, like, you know, you'd have to fish around for it and then put it back in his mouth because he was, like, you know, in a tantrum, you know, panicky state that he doesn't think.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely one of those parents that at 18 months old, I had him faced around until my wife came home from her trip. And then it was like, haha, he was never faced the other way, honey. Don't worry about it. And then maybe before he turned two, he turned it around the other way.
Well, I'm really impressed because most people I think that I know turn them around like by the age of one when the car seat says you can turn it around. So good for you guys for keeping him turned around.
My wife is Jesus. I don't have much choice. She'll kick my butt.
Nice. I like her.
Yeah. We should have her on.
Adam, I was just kind of laughing more in sympathy with you because for the first 4 months of Reese's life, she screamed bloody murder anytime she had to go in the car seat. Anytime. And there was nothing I could do about it. I just had to learn to live with it. And now she also didn't take the pacifier for the first probably 5 or 6 months. And she likes it now. So I've given up and she's a little pacifier baby.
Yeah, we were all done with the pacifier at about 14 months old. Like we had almost like completely got him out of it. And then we had a medical issue and ended up in the hospital for a little bit of time. And that's when he reattached himself to it and became a big, big security issue.
Yeah.
And it's only the last 3 months that we've like really de-binkified him again.
Yeah.
It's a tough process.
Yeah.
I have a friend first of all, I'm so sorry to hear that he was in the hospital. I mean, anytime a child's in the hospital, it's just stressful to deal with, I think, on the parents and the child. So at least he did have something to you know, comfort him. I mean, in addition to parents. Oh, I had a friend who, she has the tooth fairy come to the house. Not the tooth fairy, I'm sorry, the pacifier fairy. And so the pacifier comes and takes this is just one way to do it, takes the pacifier away and instead leaves a toy at their door. So they get a toy and they don't get the pacifier. And another thing they do is they have lots of kids, put the pacifier, tie it to the end of a balloon, and the child has to let it go up in the air and it flies off. And then it's gone.
Yeah, we told Mark the pacifier binky came and took all his binkies, and they took him to little boys and girls that needed the binkies, and left him a present. He did get a Yo Gabba Gabba prize out of it. So,
ooh, that's cute.
We did it work to ourselves with the things that like we wanted to give up. Like, I don't want my husband drinking soda anymore, so I'm going to go and take all of his Cokes. And just tie them to balloons and say, it's time to let go, honey.
I don't think they're going anywhere. They're pretty heavy.
Yeah, I know. Pretty fun.
It would take a really, really strong balloon.
Yeah. You can take them away.
All I know is the prize for giving up my soda better be very, very nice.
Yeah. You should have seen how he was when I took away his coffee machine last week and replaced it with a coffee press because of all of our plastic stuff.
Oh my.
It's been like I've had to be so positive reinforced, and I'm like, is that French press coffee delicious? Is it awesome? And he's like, I'm not Miles. I know what you're doing.
Just to give grinding? You a little background, Adam, Natalie Gaffori and Jennifer, or Natalie Gaffori, who's actually not with us today, she couldn't make it, and then Jennifer, have been doing some research on plastics, and I think Natalie just a couple weeks ago wrote this great piece on just information about plastics and which ones are good and which ones are okay to use. And so that's where this has all stemmed from, us getting rid of plastics. Although I just started.
Yeah, my wife is, I'm a little bit green and my wife is definitely trying to be more green, but I think it stems from just starting off the bat of like avoiding the BPA plastics. Cause like you know, one thing that we're big on is when we look for our children, we sit there and say, is it BPA free? Is it, you know, all the other acronyms and letters that are free for our children? But then you start thinking about all of what we consume. It's like those bottled waters. Well, that's not always BPA free plastics. And so like you just start putting it all together and you're like, well, no wonder we're so sick all the time.
Yeah, and right. Then the other thing that had come up is that they were saying that, yes, they're removing the BPA, the bisphenol, I guess whatever number that is, but they're just replacing it with another bisphenol that they haven't tested. And the chemicals that they did end up testing, or the plastics they ended up testing, had as many chemicals come out that mimicked estrogen as the BPA-free. So there's that whole thing that's going on right now. So we're just trying to figure out which ones truly are safe and which ones aren't. And because I think if we're all just concerned about BPA in general, we want the safe plastics for our kids and we want the truth. So,
right. I think that's also why baby brands like Born Free and Dr. Brown's are kind of rebringing back the glass bottles for babies.
Yeah.
Because you can't go wrong with glass.
That's right, yeah. And you mentioned Evenflo earlier, and I actually have Evenflo glass bottles because they were the cheaper ones. But, yeah, so I use that brand for that.
And I noticed that since I've been giving Miles glass bottles, he doesn't throw it around as much. He'll hold it carefully because it's heavy. Whereas plastic, he'll just kind of, you know, wave around and pound on the table. And with the glass, he's careful with it. For some reason, maybe he understands that it's fragile. Which is interesting.
Yeah, I haven't moved to the glass bottles, but I emailed Natalie Gafori last week and I told her, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since I read that post and so I wasn't completely on board with getting rid of all my plastics. But I mean, knowing that and having that information in my head, I don't feel right. So I went shopping and I got a few. I replaced all my glass Tupperware. I mean, my plastic Tupperware with glass Tupperware, which speaking of, I think it just got here. There's a box that I haven't opened from Amazon. And, also, her little containers, so her little snack containers, those were all plastic, and I make her all her baby food, so instead of you packing it in plastic containers, I use glass. So I think next will be the switching to glass bottles.
You guys may be done almost with bottles soon. Are you? How long are you planning to continue, I guess, after?
Well, she's not that great. I don't know. She hasn't had her, she has her 1 year appointment next year, and she's not that great with the sippy cup yet.
Yeah.
She only takes like 2 to 3 ounces of water from her sippy cup a day. And maybe that would change if I replaced it with milk. So I'm not sure. Adam, when did you transition? Or do you remember? It was so long ago.
Well, he was on bottles until about 16 months old because he was just like, you know, we were just kind of lazy about stopping the bottles and transitioning to, we never transitioned to sippy cups. Mm-hmm. We only transitioned to straws.
Oh, yeah. So that's what she's using now.
Right, we went to the straw cups, and that's still the only thing he drinks out of. He does not do sippy cups. We have now a hybrid approach of every once in a while we'll give him a big boy cup, like just a regular cup, and either there's a 50-50 shot of either he's wearing the drink or he's drinking and then putting it down and there's still liquid in the cup. But there's a 100% shot that the cup is empty, whether the liquid's on the floor or the liquid's on him. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was hard.
Okay, so yeah, I haven't even begun to think about that, and I think I'm kind of on the side with you, Adam. I mean, the bottle works fine. She's only having 4 a day, and it works. And she does love. We couldn't get her to drink the drink from a sippy cup. She hates them. I did use the Natalie. I can't even think of the name of the cup that I recommended to you.
The Doity
cup, and we use that once in a while, but not often. We've moved to the straw.
My mother-in-law is, she keeps telling me that I should, once I transition from the bottle, just go straight to, you know, a regular cup. And I'm like, oh, God, that's going to take forever for them to drink a glass of milk. Someone sent us a, but her point was, you don't want to have to haul around bottles everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Someone sent us on Twitter yesterday a cup called the Reflow. I don't know if that's Reflow or Reflow, but it looks super cool. It's a revolutionary new concept in training cups, and it looks like a regular cup. It doesn't have any like straws or sippy like tops or anything like that, but basically it keeps the liquid pulled to one side and just comes out this little bitty side on one side. I put a link in our little chat dialogue that we have on the side of things for this podcast, so you girls can and guy can check it out, but it looks really cool.
That does look reflow. Cool. It's plastic, but
it is. You just can't win. I know, but you know, I think hopefully we'll be able to transition to cold milk, and I'm not really concerned about, you know, cold liquids and plastic containers if, you know, they haven't been like sitting out in the sun and are warm and that kind of thing.
Well, one product we did try for a little bit early on was the Zolo sippy cup and straw cup, because yes, it's plastic, but if you're in that bottle phase, they make a sippy cup where the straw is attached to a ball on the inside of the cup. So where if the baby leans the straw back, the cup, you know, it's still, the ball makes the straw go to where the liquid is. You know, that's a big thing when you're transitioning from a bottle, because the baby's always so used to holding the bottle upright at its mouth and having the liquid fall in. Where you transition to a straw, if they do the same thing with the straw, they're just sucking in air. So the it's a Zoli baby, and so yeah, the company name is Zoli. Cool. And so they have this really cool sippy cup, and I like them a lot.
Well, these are all things that we, you know, think that when we had our first baby, this stuff would last forever. But now we're thinking about baby number two, or some of us are. and then we think, well, then I'm going to have to get all new gear because this stuff's... And, you know, my mom always says, well, I guess I couldn't have had a baby now because all the stuff we used is bad, according to you. And so, you know, it's funny that we think about that, but the only person actually I know... Sorry, that's Miles. Coffee.
Aww, poor baby.
That's thinking about that is Alex. Alex, what's going on with your uterus? It wants
to absolutely nothing. Well, so like I said, we're thinking about number two in terms of timing, which is funny. Adam, I don't know if you've read some of my posts. I've had a really, really hard time the first 4 months just dealing with a colicky baby and postpartum depression. It just kind of went on and on. And now I've kind of looked back and like, oh, that was hard. And now I'm ready for another one. And I think the impetus for that was I went over to visit a neighbor and I held this beautiful little baby boy. And he was only 3 weeks old and he's crying and wrinkly and just so cute. And I wanted one. So I came home and told my husband wanted to start trying it as soon as I was ready. So, I mean, months ago. And I said, absolutely not. So I came home and told my husband. And so he's completely on board. And now we're kind of in this phase like, okay, so when should we start trying? Reese is going to be a year old next month. I think we lost Adam, but he'll jump back on. Or do we need to call him back? Hello?
I'm here, Nat.
Nat, are you there?
Sorry, I'm muted because, yeah, so we lost Adam, and then I muted myself because Miles is...
Okay, sorry, I wish...
So we're a little bit all over the place, but yes, still continue.
Okay, so anyway, I mean, the gist of it is that we're thinking about having number two, and I think now we're just realizing what that means. We live in the city in San Francisco. We have a two-bedroom condo, but it's fairly small. Fairly small, and I don't think we can have another kid here. So it's, I don't know what, you know, what that means. Also,
it means you need to move to Marin.
That's an option. I know Josh wants to move back to Denver. So that's,
no,
that's
also,
I know. Then we'll have people in the North Bay or in California, Denver, New York. Let's see. So yeah, it's kind of, I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm really, really excited. So again, we're not trying, but I think we will be soon. So I'll keep you gals updated. It's really funny. I have to say that I'm very open about this. Just with the first one, we didn't tell anybody until I think about 3 months after I was pregnant. And now I'm just kind of like, yeah, we're going to be trying soon. And so if you notice, I'm not having a glass of wine at the next cocktail party. Your assumption will probably be right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we're actively trying. We've been trying. Wow. We've been trying for a few weeks now.
And isn't it fun?
You know, when we got started, it was, and then it became drill sergeant time, and that's not fun. You know, drop your drawers and give me 20. No. This is taking all the sexy out of it, and you know, then all that remains is making baby, and you know, there's only so many times I want to be told, all right, we got 10 minutes to make this happen, let's go. Because you have to think about the logistics of when you actually have another kid that can wake up at any moment and be like, mommy, daddy. And you're like, really? It doesn't happen. You know, well, it used to happen that quick when I was in high school, but now it doesn't happen that quick.
Well, I have to say, I'm right there with you, Adam. I think for our first, just because, so this is probably a little too much information, but this is what we talk about here on Mommy Beta Podcast. The first time, I'm just so irregular. My doctor said it could take up to a year. So I decided just right away when I knew we were going to start trying to use the ovulation pee sticks. And we're going to be using those again when I'm ready. So I got pregnant within the first month because I knew I was ovulating. So I was a drill sergeant. I said, okay, let's go. And for the next 2 days, we went and went. And so anyways, that's just always an option if you needed a little help.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is we didn't need help the first time around. Mark is actually a honeymoon baby. We weren't trying to, but we totally weren't. Well, I don't know. He wasn't an accident at all. It was just like we weren't actively sitting there being like, let's get pregnant.
The word surprise, those of us who did not try to have a baby.
Right, exactly. No, no, in no way is my child an accident, but definitely like took away the idea of let's go to Paris next month.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. That's exciting. So I asked our readers, what things do I need to be thinking about? What things are you guys thinking about for baby number two? Another baby.
Well, when you have baby number one, like we don't have any of the bottles, we have none of the binkies. So like that's all new stock for the number two. And my wife is sitting there reading the Chinese and the Russian baby calculator kind of things to figure out when
she's going to go. I'm going to email her. I love it.
Yeah, so she's totally sitting there trying to figure out how to have the girl, because if I don't give her a girl, I might as well find a new place to live, is the advice I
give. Sorry, boys that's, can you guys hear Miles talking to you?
Yeah, he's just joining in the conversation.
Okay. All right. You know, my husband Clayton did a segment on his show this morning about how something like 47% of American parents report to wanting a baby boy, and it's because men sort of tip the scales, because men are willing to ring in and say, yeah, I totally want a boy, and women won't say that. Women are like, oh, I'll be happy with whatever.
That's funny, because my husband wanted a girl. You know, I mean, I'm sure some guys out there want a girl. Yeah, he definitely wanted a girl.
I totally wanted the little boy first to protect the girl, because I wanted to know that I didn't have to kick the boyfriend's ass at some point.
That's exactly what my husband said. I don't think you're the only one. Yeah.
I think my husband would mind two daughters.
Right. Well, you know, my
boys
friend.
Love their mommies forever. And girls all of a sudden, they're, you know, tell me what's pretty and what looks cool. And mom, those sunglasses are dorky. And boy will never tell me that.
Yeah. Right, because a boy won't care.
They won't care. He'll just love me no matter what. Yeah. So.
Anyway. And so what else are you guys thinking about in terms of logistics?
Logistics right now is we might be moving in within New York City, which is, you know, trying to find a little bit of a bigger place to have child number two for the fact that you need more strollers and bigger strollers and everything gets exponentially doubled. So we're thinking about moving. And then like outside of that, it's just mainly my fear of flying anymore is just like paying for Mark's flight seat right now is like an entire ticket. And then the concept that in 2 years we'd have to be flying for four just scares me.
Okay. Yeah.
But
I feel you on that one.
The logistics right now that I'm at is at nursery school and the New York education system and pre-K. And that's just
gosh, that Mandel school I looked into was like $13,000 for preschool.
Oh my gosh. That's a good price. How about like the Brotherhood Synagogue and One Two Buckle My Shoe are in like the $15,000 to $17,000 range.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, that is one reason Josh, my husband, wants to move to Denver, because he is adamant. We live in San Francisco, Adam, and he's very adamant that our children will not be going to school here, even preschool, just because he doesn't think we should have to pay for a good education. So his family lives in Denver. So there's a possibility we may be moving down there for number two. We'll see.
Well, I mean, up where I live, the public schools are amazing. And that was a prerequisite for, you know, finding our home. We wanted to make sure. I mean, of course, you have to pay somewhat for the price of that. I think Natalie, you were weighing back and forth the difference in price of homes and in areas with great public schools versus those, you know, that may be a little lower with the private schools. And it is a factor that comes into play, but I definitely think that, you know, at least the public schools, you know, they're always going to be the same price.
Well, we should wrap this up because we could go on all day, and it is a Saturday, so we should let everyone get back to their families. But before we do, let's talk about some of the things that we're giving away this week. Alex, do you want to tell everyone what we're giving away to this week in particular?
Yes, the Drop Cam. It is amazing. I'm using it as a baby monitor, but it can be used to monitor your home, your driveway, pretty much anything. Take a look.
It a lot for pets.
Yeah. Oh, and pets. Yep. What I love most about it is that I can, it's just facing, it's over Reese's crib. So when I'm out and about and I just want to just take a peek, see if she's sleeping, you know, when the babysitter's here or daddy's home alone with her and see if she's been good and taking her nap, I can just poke in, just click an icon on my iPhone and there she is. It's awesome. So, yeah, we're giving a one away free. So, check, it'll be on our post for the or on a blog for the next 2 weeks.
And do we have any? Sorry to hop in there, Nat. Do we have Daddy of the Month submissions wrapping up? Right.
We sure do. Yeah. If you have a great father in your life that you want to submit for a small but meaningful prize, make sure you send that to us at mb@mommybeta.com or go to mommybeta.com and. For more information about that. So we always wrap up our podcast with little victories, and I thought I would take it this week because you may hear my little jabberjaw behind me right now. He's sitting on my lap. He started to string words together this week. He's going to be 11 months old tomorrow. Oh, there's a little cough, actually. But even before his 11-month birthday, I'm so proud of my little smarty pants, he said, "Hi, Dada." This week, he turned to Clayton and said, "Hi, Dad." And he started to say hi about a week and a half ago. His first official word was "uh-oh." when he drops something, he says "uh-oh." But he can say "mama." He can say "dada." And he strung together what I am counting as a sentence was "hi, Dada." And I was like, I can't believe he understands that. So
that's so sweet.
It's so
congratulations
to communicate with your child. I can't. I'm just. Every day, I can't believe, you know, what he understands and what he knows. For instance, we can put a Mickey Mouse and a Spider-Man in front of him and say, which one's Mickey Mouse? And he'll crawl to it and point
at it. Oh, cute.
And then say, which one's Spider-Man? And he'll go over and pick that up. So just the first couple of, you know, weeks, months of communicating with your child and realizing they understand me is such a little victory. I'm, you know, gushing, my proud mommy.
And I got to tell you, from the dad side of that, hearing "hi, Dada" before "hi, Mama," oh, it just rocks.
I know. I'm trying not to be jealous about it. And Clayton sat there so smug, just like, that's right, he said. So, yeah, I'm happy for him. Whatever. Well, thank you, Adam, for joining us on our podcast today and being so patient with us on a Saturday. We're so happy that you joined us. You can follow Adam on Twitter at DadaRocks, D-A-D-A Rocks, as in R-O-C-K-S. DadaRocks.com is his site where you find lots of stuff about being a dad, a cool dad. And, of course, you can always email us, mb@mommybeta.com, or just check out what we're doing, mommybeta.com. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. You grow so big overnight. How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures while the paint goes flying, your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.